Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Welcome, After Buzzers. You're watching the House of Cards finale for the Season 6 recap. Tonight, we talk loose ends, Claire is a feminist hero, what might have been, and of course we have to have an in memoriam segment for all the characters we lost this season and seasons past. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, House of Cards fam. We are back.
Yes, wow.
I know it's been a while. I know it came out a while ago, but we're back here. We're going to do a full season 6 recap. Of course, my name is Shaka Smith, joined by my lovely co-host.
Hi, you guys. I'm so happy to be back. I'm Louisa Shar.
What's up, guys? I'm Taylor Gates. So excited to talk
about
this. It's
been
so long,
guys. It's been a minute.
We're trying to get
this
together for a bit. So sorry to you fans out there, but we are here. You guys are getting the full recap. Oh, man. So where to start? Because this is like, it's so epic. It's so sad that we lost our, you know, our House of Cards family. It's our last season.
I mean, honestly, like, I don't want to jump ahead, but I just feel like there's going to be another season. It's just the ending was like that, but to me, this season was so ruthless of Claire. She always kind of hated what Frank would do, but she turned into Frank with every step that she was taking.
Yeah.
I love this show, so I don't have anything bad to say about it. I love this season.
I liked this season, too. I thought it was maybe a little more uneven than you did. I thought there was some really, great moments and really clever things. And then I thought there was some times it went a little off the rails. But I do have to say I thoroughly enjoyed every single minute, whether I thought that it was super believable or not.
Yes, Claire, you're doing it.
Well, it was. I mean, obviously, we have to talk about the elephant in the room of getting rid of Kevin Spacey because of all the charges or the allegations. Mm-hmm. And so they had to kind of force write this last season and probably wanted to go different ways that weren't originally planned. So I felt it a little bit. And I also felt a little bit of the freewheeling of going for broke because, like, hey, we can swing for the fences here now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but I was kind of still waiting for Frank. I wasn't used to him just, being dead. So every time something happened, I was just, like, mentally, I'm like, okay, Frank's going to come do something.
And not even just, they didn't give us any flashbacks. We never saw his, like, I don't remember seeing his image. I think at the very end, and it was like a silhouette. I don't think we actually saw his face.
And we heard his voice on,
from
like, the
audio.
MP3 recordings, but that's pretty much the only time we actually got, like, his image or his voice.
Yeah, and I thought that was weird to me. It felt, because, like, I felt like as a character, he was so central to it. Mm-hmm. You thought they would at least do some flashbacks of past things that were shot.
But he was still pushing the narrative. Even though he wasn't there, everyone was trying to figure out who killed him, how he died.
That's what frustrated me, is that he was pushing the narrative. Yeah, we never saw him, so you never got to see, like, a flashback as a kid, that kind of stuff.
The only thing we saw was half of his hand in the coffin. Supposedly he died from, liver failure.
Yeah, they called him a hand double. So.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey gets no more money from this show.
Yeah, I know. That's so funny. But, like, it's sad. But, like, I wanted more of him just for closure, closure purposes. Because we did fall in love with the character, though, of course, things happened really bad in real life.
But I thought they dealt with it well.
I agree. And after, like, the first episode or so, I honestly wasn't really missing his presence.
Really?
I thought this is Robin Wright's show now. Yeah. And she is so central. And I think that the fact that they were bringing him up so often was almost a mistake in ways. Like, I wish they would have made it her show, because she was the lead, and they lingered so much on
this ghost of
in ways. I think that's important, but I think it was maybe a little bit too much. Like, I wish they would have devoted that time to doing storylines that were more just about her.
I felt if you're going to linger on the ghost of him, that you needed to bring me back him. I need some backstory, I need some flashbacks that tell that story a little bit better and clearer. But if you're gonna bring him up all the time, or just don't bring him up at all, and we get to really move forward with Claire.
But did you notice how the show is kind of brighter? It's it had a light air to it. And maybe because Frank is out of the picture. The coloring of the show, like the cinematography, just it was a fresher air.
And
I kind of noticed that.
And I think they dealt with a woman taking the reins, you know? Just when she's having to choose her outfits and she's choosing these choices that give a little military feel, but at the same time remain feminine. So she's balancing this feminine, masculine.
Even
new
her
role.
Pajamas were presidential. Did you see how dapper that was? Beautiful, Matt. I love her.
It's so interesting, though, because they dealt with feminism in such a crazy unique way, and I think one of the only other shows that has done it this well is Unreal, which is the one with also has Constance Zimmer in it. And it's like very much the woman anti-hero, and I think they discuss sort of what happens when you weaponize feminism and pregnancy and motherhood and all of these aspects that are supposed to be these, you know, nurturing and soft touch, and she uses them completely to her advantage and manipulates them in ways which is sort of terrifying but really, really interesting to watch.
Yeah, great add-on, Taylor. That's great.
So we want to really delve into loose ends. But before we do that, we got to thank some of you guys that have joined us in the chat so religiously, season after season.
STST cast.
Awesome, awesome. We guys, we appreciate your comments. We love the love.
We love
you. Go to iTunes, give us the 5 stars, give us the great comments on YouTube. We appreciate it. And of course, we do have a little plug for the rest of the shows we have here at AfterBuzz.
Yes. Okay, so hey guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes, and that's why we're back, because you guys love our show, so we appreciate all your support.
Our chat is popping, you guys! Our chat!
Have such a limited amount of time. Like, please leave a comment or find us on Twitter, because I will talk about the show forever with you guys.
We have lots to talk about.
Yeah, just want to add on the something cast said Netflix made sure he had nothing to do with
it. Honestly, good on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, but good on them.
Just even the press alone, if he had made a dollar off of it, it would have been bad press for them.
Oh, yeah.
But before we delve into Claire the Feminist Hero, which I think is an awesome overview of the season, let's talk about the loose ends, because there's so many, but we got a couple tied up. Let's just kind of roll through them. Well, first, let's Kathy. I love Kathy. So she's my favorite character, right? Kathy Durant.
My gosh. The fact that she had to fake the way she dies only because she knew she was going to die was perfection.
Her and Jane, my God.
Man, she knew. Jane, I love. Yeah. And I love how Claire ended up killing both of them, obviously.
As she does.
But I just wish Kathy lived. You're like, why didn't you let her retire in peace?
And she escaped. She escaped so many times.
She was so
smart. That poor woman, like, she's like, I will not say anything. I want to be done with the White House. And they never let her go and give her a break. And especially makes me sad because there was that amazing scene. I just did a full rewatch before the season came out. And there's the scene where she and Claire play like champagne pong together. Yeah.
They thought about their college years, right?
Yeah. Yes. And so I loved that little friendship, and I'm so sad that it ended this way.
And Claire found her again towards the end.
And I think what I loved with Claire, they gave Claire. I love the relationship she has with women in the seasons. Frank doesn't have that same relationship with men or women where it's like, he's just Doug, who's really the lackey, you know, who's always hanging on because of you did one favor for me years ago, you know. So I want to see more of that throughout future seasons too. But
before she killed them, and Frank is a complete lone wolf, just like Doug was. Like, Frank was not social at all.
Yeah, and there was something to this idea of the friendship, but we're not really friends. I love when Claire and Annette, of course, Diane Lane, great addition to the season.
The Shepherds. I love the Shepherds.
Such a great love hate history present relationship.
Yes,
And that's another. I mean, eventually these loose ends get tied up as well. So we got Kathy, we got Doug. Obviously, that was the ultimate loose end that needed to be tied up. What did you guys... And we've got to jump to it because that's one of the loose ends.
I know.
What did you guys think about, A, the reveal that he killed Frank, and then, B, you know, that she turned around?
The fact that he killed Frank to save his legacy, to me, was, like, beyond obsession. How someone can be so in love and just so, just in awe of someone's presence, but you killed him just to save his legacy. That just shows how mentally unstable he really was.
It's like one of the fans. It's like one of the fans that killed, like, John Lennon.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just so crazy. And then also how he went inside the van and secretly was listening to his audio. I don't know. He was just so messed up in the head.
Yeah.
It always has sort of been those two against each other, though, especially when they were more quote-unquote supporting players in the first five seasons, because they're both vying for this power and this attention, and now it's like a whole nother level because Frank is gone, and so that whole, you know, main variable of the equation is off the table, so it's just them facing off now, and it's every man for himself, and I do love, because I didn't know how it was going to end.
Yeah,
during
right?
that scene that Robin Wright actually directed.
Yeah. The last episode. Yes, yes.
And that just scene in the Oval Office of the two of them. Like, oh, it's like very cat and mouse and so tense. And then it happened.
But Doug knew that Frank was planning to kill Claire. So that's why he went in for it and handled Frank.
Well, because he wanted to protect his legacy. Yes. Yeah. Correct.
Crazy. Like, to me, wow. What do you think? Like,
what I kept thinking was, I would love to be watching this with, like, a psychologist, because I want to know, like, what is the diagnosis? Because he's a psychopath in some ways, of course, but he does have a genuine love for Frank, so he can display some sort of empathy and emotion. So what's the diagnosis for someone like Doug Stamper? But ultimately, this mentally unstable individual that you have near you, so you can't really ever have any expectations of him, right?
So crazy.
And we just, the parallels in, like, the first season, especially in this season, were just, I love it when shows kind of do that and kind of bring everything full circle. And we have it in the opener of season 6 where she talks about no more pain. And then that's reflected again in this finale after she kills Doug. And that, of course, reflects and mirrors, like, the first ever scene of the show where Frank kills the dog.
Yeah.
And so
they do the same thing.
And breaks the fourth wall, and the first time we get introduced to that fourth wall, which is genius.
And they did the same thing with the episode 1 where she frees the bird as opposed to killing the bird. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they had all these little moments where they kind of give you some, like, small payoff if you're really watching, really paying attention.
And it's also showing how, with each episode, she was, like, letting go some part of Frank, and she was becoming more independent and more in, like, more strong in her role as president.
Yeah.
Until her breakdown, which was hilarious. Like,
and of course, some other loose ends that get taken care of, or will these turn up, they're new people and they end up being loose ends. I guess Annette and Bill Shepherd, who are really trying to pull her by the strings, and with some great history with her and Annette.
Which was basically coordinated by Frank before he died.
Yeah.
So, right? That was going to be kind of...
She was hemmed up in a little...
Yes. Yeah. So she had to just take that relationship over, whether she liked it or not.
And the only thing is, while I did enjoy watching the Shepherds, I do wish they would have been introduced, like, a couple seasons ago, because they felt sort of thrown in. And there were so many... There's just so many characters in the show, and so many that I just have loved since, the first or second season. So I'm like, oh, I wish we weren't, having the scene of Bill being sick, because I don't care about him yet.
And that's the thing, is I think they were really kind of hamstrung by having to do this so quickly, because the story didn't give me the payoff that... But the actors were so great. That's the thing. The story didn't give me the payoff the actors were almost able to give me, but needed another season to give me. Diane Lane's amazing. I want to see
great.
that story. How do you go from being best friends and you try to kill her and poison her unborn child?
and then you're threatening to tell people about her abortion, and then Claire says, "You know what? Your son's not yours." Yeah. Like, just my cattiness everywhere.
But you have a beautiful respect for each other. And when Claire makes that move, when she sees the cabinet, what did you guys think about that? Do you have different feelings as females when you see that moment?
I thought it was very, just like really, a really cool scene and very empowering and symbolic in a way. But it also is terrifying at the same time, because you know that a lot of this is, like, I think Claire in ways does believe in what she's saying. But at the same time, Claire is all about Claire. And Claire wants power for herself, and she will do anything to get it. So it's like... Yeah, it's great to see, but at the same time, since we know what's going on in her head now and her intentions, it's not as fulfilling as it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just showed me the power of women and how dangerous it can be.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what kind of past you have. Like, when the time comes, like, you go back into the closet and take out the skeleton. And it's so true.
And I think, we got to move into the Claire's a feminist hero.
Damn.
But what I was struck by that scene by how I'm not struck when I see men in that room. That's what struck me. It was like I've never gasped by seeing like. I've thought, oh, maybe this is not really so great. But there was a moment of shock, like, oh, wow, that's never been done before. And she has the power to do it.
You mean the all-women
cabinet? Okay, all the women cabinet that were diverse.
Oh, my God, that was such a powerful move,
So getting Annette, who is this person who's kind of like her foil, to in a moment of, like, a brief moment of camaraderie and solidarity where she was shocked by it, too, and was you had to think in her mind at that moment, she thought, Claire's not a bad president. Mm-hmm. This is a good thing.
Yeah. And it just reminds me of the Ruth Bader Ginsburg quote, like, how many will be enough women on the Supreme Court? And she's like, all of them. Yeah. Every single one of the seats. And I'm like, Claire's making that a reality in this show. And it's just, it does feel super timely in ways. Like, this show is just very, I mean, it's always been relevant, but especially, I think, in this culture.
Oh, my God.
The complications that arise, too, in the sort of gray area and the more sinister side of it. Because, like, girl power, amazing. But if you use it in certain ways, not so great.
And, of course, it's kind of a subject we don't want to talk about, but it's abortion. It's part of the thing. And it was weaponized in different ways and handled interestingly as well. How did you guys think about the way Claire handled the reveal of it?
Of her abortion?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't even speak the truth about it. She just said the baby was going to die, so she had to...
Oh, yeah, she had, like, three.
To remove it and stuff. So it was unfair on her end to lie. That was not the right thing to do, but to save her ass, quote-unquote, she had to do that, you know?
I do like that this has been a continuous issue that they have had so much continuity about, though, because that was one of the most impactful moments for me was in, like, season two where she gives that interview, and it is revealed that, you know, well, she says that she was raped by the army commander, and it's all sort of tied together. Yeah. And so House of Cards can sort of drop storylines really easily, I think, and pick up, like, random ones. But the fact that that has been such a constant, because it is something that affects female politicians so much.
Regardless if you're the ruthless one or the not ruthless one,
Exactly. So I really like that that's always just sort of the skeleton in her closet, and one of the major skeletons in her closet. And it's been brought up so many times in so many ways, and she can't ever really suppress it. Like, it's always going to pop back up.
Yeah. But also, you know, as someone that we all of us know that she's not a maternal person. It's all about power.
Yeah.
So if we talk more about, like, the reason why, like, she's pregnant and everything, I just feel like that was a shocker to me that she would actually do that, because we all know why she even got her abortion. She never wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
Then she is pregnant now because she wants all the money to stay to her and everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just sneaky, it's dirty, but...
But it was kind of both sides, because when we had season two, we felt for Claire. We were like, oh my God. And now... And then this other way is like, wait a minute, hold on, she's really just using this. So they kind of gave you both sides of that debate, but just gave it to you in, like, the sort of...
Were you guys surprised that she announced that she's pregnant? I was so surprised.
Oh, of course. I don't know. I feel torn on that, because part of me, I agree with you. I think it's really an interesting sort of plot device, and the fact that she's weaponizing pregnancy in this, you know, that's supposed to be, like, the most, like, beautiful thing is just very House of Cards of them. But at the same time, I just have always loved the fact that she was a strong woman without children, because that's so, you know, never see that on TV. Like, that's hardly ever a character that you see. So I always, like, admired that, and I was like, oh, they're going down this
road. But you know, with politics, you know, the royal family, you know, the minute they get married, they start popping out the babies and showing them, you know, selling plates and placards and things. And I don't remember, but I know it was a big deal that JFK went to the White House with, like, toddlers, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so, because people fall in love
with
kids.
Branding,
so, she knows she has that kid. She's got to solidify her with the American people.
Well, the public loved her while she was pregnant. But also, to me, I mean, because I always, like to think about people's, like, back end of the story, like, what they do. So she had time to freeze her eggs. When did she do all this? Like, for me, it's like, so you got pregnant, she probably had in vitro, because Frank is dead, obviously. And when she was going to that woman's house, remember, secretly, I thought, I'm like, maybe she's sick. And then when they said when she announced she's pregnant, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so sneaky.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that her and Frank maybe 20 years ago would have said, at some point, a baby might be politically advantageous, so we got to make sure it's on deck if we need. That didn't surprise me at all.
I was slightly confused about the storyline, because I do remember, because I just did rewatch seasons 1 and 2, and in season 1 it's very clear that she is going through menopause. Like, she stands in front of the fridge and all of that. And I know that there are certain ways, I think, I'm not super educated on the science of it, if you freeze your eggs, you can, you know, become pregnant even after menopause and things like that. But I'm wondering if they sort of just ignored that they wrote that in ways, and I'm wondering if the baby is Tom Yates's.
Oh my god, Taylor, that I could just also got goosebumps.
We need another season.
I know, I need it. There's
oh my god.
I don't know. So, I just bombshell.
Hold up. With the timeline, obviously, she still had it in vitro, right? Because, like, Tom is dead. So there's and no way she stayed pregnant.
And wait, we're 100 days into her pregnancy when we start, right?
Which isn't...
So that's what, like, 93 months?
It's possible.
Yeah. Oh my god!
This will be our
just throwing it out.
This
there,
will be on the after know. After show for the conspiracy theories of House of Cards.
I want another season, man. Oh my gosh!
Something that we also have the international. When we talk about Claire, the feminist hero, which also her standing up to Petrov and giving him what he needs to make sure that she keeps the shepherds out. So I thought that was a great international storyline because we are in Syria. Now we're pulling out of Syria. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of... They've been so good at kind of mirroring what's happening in real life. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about her as like a military commander? And I think throughout the season, she's... While she has a back and forth with the presidency, she always wants to make sure that she's got the reign. Going to the military on 4th of July, and she says, I don't care about the assassination attempt. Tomorrow's the 5th of July. So she always has that sort of countenance. How'd you guys...
I think she's trying to show the world that she can carry on that, too.
Yeah.
Especially with her relationship with Petrov, too, which she's using for her benefit. Yeah. She's so smart. So, yeah, she's balancing it great.
I agree. I think it was a really great international storyline. And the fact that we just keep bringing Petrov back, like, he's such a fun character.
I literally cheered at the wall. I was like, yes!
Like, he's such a dirtbag, but, like, he's also fun. Just, yes, he's fun. And he kind of does give me that, like, slimy Frank vibe that we were, like, missing in this season. Like, at least we have Petrov still.
Is Jane really, like, Claire after having sex with Petrov? Because do you feel that Jane and Petrov had some sort of relationship?
You know what?
I cannot read Jane.
Jane was in love with Claire. But we all know that. She was obsessed.
But I couldn't imagine Jane standing up to this sort of authoritarian person unless they had some sort of relationship with beyond that. You know,
like a sexual relationship. Yeah. Man, I don't know. Now that you say it, I think so.
Oh, the way she was speaking to him seemed to me like this is personal.
I don't know, though, because Jane is such an enigma to me, and I never know her intentions or if she's being real or if she's just playing things for her benefit. Like, I still can't read Jane, and I feel like she became sort of the Claire of this season for me, because Claire was such a mystery in the first couple seasons, and then now we got to peek into her mind, and now we have Jane as the one that's, like, unknowable.
But speaking of Jane, did we all think that Jane and Usher had something? Like, for a while, I thought they had something, too, right? They both went way back. They had some kind of relationship together, right? Yeah. Because Usher found Jane dead, right? In that yoga bed or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, this season had some interesting twists and turns. And then we talk about, I love the flashbacks that you see. So
Claire as a younger girl.
So we talk about her as a feminist hero. And we have that moment where, you know, they take off her clothes. She's stripped her clothes. And she ends up sticking the stick in the guy's eye. So from a young age, she's always sort of been, I don't know if you want to call it a feminist hero or her own hero, but she's always stood up and been very strong as a female.
Yeah, and she had a bad relationship with her mom, too.
Yeah.
Which actually, I think, affected the way she was brought up and how she sees men now and even her non-maternal vibes. Who knows?
Yeah, and I feel like she's just always had her eye on the prize, too. Yeah. Like, even, I think it was in college, she had the guy that she was supposedly in love with, and she chooses Frank over him because she wants every door open for herself, and she knows Frank is the key to getting that, even if that's not necessarily going to fulfill her in the romantic sense.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing I want to add in the chat that makes so much sense regarding Kate, Claire having a baby. So the something cast said, it's more anti-Frank. Her and Frank didn't want kids. So Frank's gone. She needs to show that she's not Frank.
Yeah.
Very point. Yep.
Trying to give her that extra...
Mm-hmm. And it's Latasha saying, this season was so crazy.
Sums it up.
Yeah.
And then Christian saying feminist agenda with large... Yeah,
yeah,
it was indeed,
and I thought it was done in a way where it was like it wasn't trying to vilify being a feminist or strong woman. It wasn't trying to make it amazing or awesome. It was like, here's a condition, and it can go either way depending on who the person is wielding the power.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah, So I thought they were very effective in doing that. But we got to go into our segment of what might have been. Because you know, all of our predictions are certainly different than if we know, you know, Kevin Spacey stays on the show.
Man.
So what do you think might have been? Let's go down the line. What might have been had we still had a President Underwood in the office?
You know, I think that we would have gotten to a similar point where we got, like, at the end of this, at the end of this season. I think that Frank maybe would have died in the series finale and Claire would have been the president. I feel like the timeline was just sort of accelerated because he was written off. I feel like it was always going to be ending with Claire in power.
Yeah.
I think Frank would have tried to navigate everything behind the scenes. But while Claire being a puppet, but I don't think Claire would have let that happen. I think they would have either moved out or gotten a big divorce or something so Claire can really be in her true power. But also I think Frank would have handled all of the loose ends because Constance is still alive. Janine is still alive. So that's why for me, I feel like there might be a season 7. Only because there's still two lingering people. There is Annette Shepherd and then there is Janine, right?
Yeah.
So I think Frank would have been extra brutal.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I was thinking, I was obviously rooting for it, but I thought that they were going to eventually find a way to reconciling and really, Frank really fully supporting her as a president.
Okay.
And you'd see some of these same power plays work out, but with Frank eventually making it completely behind her side. Because I think I loved the way they humanized each other because they were the only person that they ever showed affection for.
Of course. You know what? They're movie nights, watching the classic movies.
Or
like
smoking
Double
the cigarettes.
Indemnity.
Yeah, I missed those moments. So I got some of that with Annette, with her in the season. But I missed that moment of having that person that was like, you made it all the way to power this many years. Let's say work it out the right way.
I mean, I miss all of like Doug, Frank, and Claire.
Yeah.
That trio. Yeah. Which got disconnected a while ago.
Guys, I just miss Jackie and Remy. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Speaking of, we got to go into our In Memoriam segment, too.
Yes,
because
segment.
They are the only two that I think made it out alive.
Yeah, they somehow are fine. And Janine.
Yeah.
I thought her car was going to blow up.
Time to list all the dead people.
Yeah, we need season 7 to bring back Remy and Jackie to kill them off.
Agreed. All right, guys. So we're going to start with the dog from the pilot.
Oh my God.
Peter Russo.
Yes.
I loved him.
Brutal one. Zoe Barnes, one of those.
Infamy. We'll live in infamy.
Rachel Posner, another.
Yes. Dog loved you, Rachel. Dog loved you.
Edward Meacham.
Oh,
the threesome,
my God.
The foursome that they had.
Oh, man. What a good guy.
Lucas Goodwin, rest in peace. He just wanted the truth out there. Elizabeth Hale, Claire's mom.
Oh, yes.
She was a savage.
She was great.
Aiden. The IT guy.
Oh, my God.
Tom Yates, fine. Didn't love him. I'm not going to lie.
Now Petrov admits killing him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Leanne Harvey.
Car crash. Devastating.
That broke Doug's heart.
Frank Underwood. Of course.
Yeah.
Tom Hammerschmidt, I think, was maybe the saddest death for me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And he ties the USB on the dog.
And he's been trying so hard for so long.
Kathy Durant.
Mm. That was a sad one to see.
Jane Davis, another sad one. And then, of course,
Doug Stamper.
And that's just, like, the major characters.
Wow.
Like, we had so many little deaths. Like, the guy who was in the Russian prison. Like, we had a lot of minor characters, too. But we had, like, over a dozen major characters.
We've been desensitized over these few years.
I mean, I wonder why Constance is still alive. I mean, Janine, right?
That's my theory is that it's my little headcanon that she's going to take it all down.
She knows so much. She knows everything.
But they gave us some beautiful characters. Those are amazing characters.
Brilliant
from
show.
Polly Hop. And speaking of Polly Hop, even in this season, as we wind things down, we still got Duncan that wanted to do the whole app thing. So we almost had like a Polly Hop 2 sort of deal.
That's so true.
And you guys, like House of Cards was Netflix's first original.
Was it the first original?
Yeah, this was.
Original ripped off of British TV.
Right, right. And during season 2, there was a little soundbite that occurred during the season finale when Frank was president.
Yeah.
That same soundbite is what Netflix uses now on all their originals.
Oh, really?
You know that noise? It goes like... Dum-dum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's used from House of Cards, season 2 finale.
Yeah.
The Legacy.
The
I
Legacy
love this
of
show.
House of Cards.
My favorite show ever.
Oh, man. We had so many things to get into. But before we start to wrap it up, was there anything that you guys want to get into that we have so much, but what was your favorite part of the season?
I mean, oh, That's
favorite
such a tough
part of this
one.
Season. Have you guys in the chat have any favorites? Let us know.
I think that one of my favorite scenes was when she was having the fake breakdown, and she's just sobbing, and her mascara is running. She's like, I just can't even leave. And then she just turns to the camera and is like, I'm faking all of this. I loved that scene
and
so much.
And how easy do people believe a woman can break down like that? Because if you know Claire Underwood, there is no way you would think she would ever break down like that.
I think that's a great one.
That's my favorite too. She waited for the right moment to bounce back, and she came back better and stronger with an all woman cabinet.
Yeah.
But for me, I think the favorite part was when she was pregnant. When she got pregnant for some reason. Yeah. I know it was for the wrong reasons, but it just felt nice.
Yeah.
You know, a new life growing inside of her. She won't be alone. She'll have someone. Not that you're not, you know, if you don't have kids, you're not going to be alone, but for her, maybe it will heal her.
Yeah.
Because she's been through so much trauma.
Yeah.
What I want is not just another season, but maybe a whole other show of Claire's daughter.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Like, yes, producers, yes.
I don't know. Of course, the cliche, you know, the scene, the cabinet opening, that was just brilliant. But I would say for me, my favorite was watching the flashbacks, her and Annette smoking joints and doing ballet together. Because it gets you in that moment of, how did something like this begin? Mm-hmm. And then how did you get to a point where you're like at each other's throats, but you still have a history where you love one another in some weird way.
Such human nature. They were showing the real raw, you know, issues of human and the relationship.
Were they even, didn't they like curtsy at one point in the bathroom?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's so interesting because they have that history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, Diane Lane, just amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Something Cass says that their favorite was Claire's first aside to the camera in the Situation Room at the end of season four. And I agree. That moment was epic.
When she broke it. Yeah. What was your favorite moment of the entire, of all the seasons?
Oh my God.
That's a great moment. My favorite episode I know vividly because I always rewatch it when I'm in the mood for House of Cards, but I love the debate episode where it's like Jackie and Frank and Heather and they're all debating and Jackie finally breaks down and goes after Heather's kids when they're having the debate and that moment is just like such a good episode.
My favorite part of the whole actually series has to be when Peter Russo was in the picture, that whole scandal of Frank's genius recruiting him, trying to think he's going to be something and then killing him in the car. For me, that was genius. But one thing that I want to mention for this season is we forgot that woman that made a 2-minute appearance with Claire and said, if we had just given Frank that damn secretary position, none of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was her name?
Linda Vasquez.
Yes, Linda Vasquez. Yeah. Such an important scene.
Because that really is what turned the
Frank so like, damn
evil. I'm going for everything now.
It's you guys just shut up and giving him that little role. Not really role, but... None of this.
Well, I think, of course, the pounding on the desk is one of my favorite moments. And I think anything, was it Ellen Burstyn that played Claire's mom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was, any scene with her, she just kind of, was a tour de force. So I really loved that.
Oh, also, the other big investor that,
Raymond Tusk.
Never want to see him again. No,
I'm done with weird Raymond.
Scenes. Because he's in This Is Us. He was on the first season. He was the gynecologist.
Oh.
I just loved it.
What range he has.
Yes. Like crazy.
But I just love him as a character.
And of course, those bizarre scenes we got of them out in the woods back in the day.
Yeah, with a men's retreat.
They really took us in different places with this
show. I love this show, man. I just love this show.
And I'm still going to be wondering, do people talk to presidents like this? Do people talk to their cabinets like this? I know we have a president that maybe they do.
Oh my God. I remember when they had asked President Obama at the time, you know, is this how the real White House
I
think he said no, it's not like this, but we love the show. Yeah. We watch it. It's just funny though.
Because you had moments where Annette was talking to Claire and Bill, you just feel like they wouldn't talk that way to a president in real life.
Yeah.
You know, they might make their point clear, but you still might do it.
And also they would really take real things from real life and show it in the show, like that scene with Obama, and they were looking at pictures with in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah,
they
yeah.
had that same image.
Yeah, they create
place.
That narrative.
Like
yeah.
it's just wow.
A weird thing I always loved about the show is they made, like, the news programs look so real. Yeah. They always looked so authentic, and I thought that was always cool, because it felt like it was a real world. Like, I felt fully immersed in it.
I would say we lived in this world for quite some time, so it's so sad to see it go.
And it hurt me when Doug had to kill Rachel. Oh, my God. He kills the people he loves. Obviously. He killed Frank.
And the people he doesn't love.
And the people he doesn't love. Doug is just a killer.
Man.
Well, this has been an incredible, several seasons, and
Yes.
So we're gonna miss this, guys. We're gonna be writing in and trying to get a season 7, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
Yeah, we'll see.
Claire's daughter spinoff. Let's go, guys. Yes.
Because we don't know if it's gonna be Tom's daughter or it's Frank's daughter. Right, we don't know.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you, you guys.
My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Louisa Shar. Also catch me on the Will and Grace After Show Thursday nights at 7 p.m.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Alphaba_Anne. And Instagram at Taylor_Gates_. I also host Good Trouble and Scientology in the Aftermath every Tuesday, so you can catch me there.
And we love our chat family. We love you guys. You have been there since day one.
So we will see you on AfterBuzz somewhere on another show. Yes. Thank you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.